here, Pastor Joel and Donna. You two are two of the greatest examples I have ever known in loving pastors. Don't you love the tenderness of your pastor? He is a tender, godly man, and the disciples here, you know, it flows down. The disciples here, the people that follow Jesus in this church, are the real deal. And it flows right from Pastor Joel and Donna. You are two of the precious souls. I mean, you invited me, and I didn't know anybody would ever want me after I retired from pastoring. And so here I am at one of the greatest churches in the whole nation. You are known around the world. You mentioned Christian Celebration Center Midland to missionaries around the world, and they light up. You have been a wonderful example in missions. And Jacob Spence, Pastor, thank you so much for having me to share with the young people for a couple of days. We had a great time there. And my friend Jason's here. Well, I've got intercessors here from Lansing with me. And I know that God is up to something really good, and you've got a great future here. And you know what I feel like today? I feel like demons are bound and angels are loosed, and I really feel like something great is going to happen in your life. I know that. God is about to pour something into you that could have come no other way. You decided to come to church today, and I'm glad you did. And thank you for being such an influence all over this world with your missions giving. You're always in the top, very top. And what a joy to sit under this worship team with Pastor Leon. I hadn't seen Pastor Leon in 20 years, but I never forgot him. Once you meet Pastor Leon, you never forget Pastor Leon. And you know, he's a worship leader and a music director, but one thing I've noticed all 20 years ago when we had district council here, I'd been talking about that guy on the organ ever since. I said, you know, there's a guy that knows how to lead us into the Holy of Holies, where real worship takes place, heart-to-heart communion with the Father. So thank you so much, Pastor Leon. It's a joy and an honor to be with you. Now, how many know that salvation is a gift? The Bible says it's a free gift of God, that all of us have sinned and we've fallen short of God's standards. If we've ever lied, if we've ever gossiped, if we've ever stolen a pencil from work, so much as a pencil, that's just a little stealing. But a little stealing is enough to send a person to hell forever and ever and ever to await the great white throne judgment. One sin. And I thought I had it made because I believed in God. Well, the Bible says the devil believes in God. I just like to give you my testimony to show you that I'm really saved. I only do that where I've never spoken before, so people get to know me. And by the way, this is my lovely wife here, Mary Jo, sitting next to Donna. Wave to the people. She's my chief intercessor. But I believed all the right things. I was baptized. I went to catechism. I was confirmed. And I believed all the right things. That's called orthodoxy, believing the right things. Ortho means straight. Doxy means doctrine, straight doctrine. But you know, doctrine wasn't just meant to be learned. It was meant to be experienced, and that's called orthopraxy in the Greek. I had orthodoxy, but not orthopraxy. In fact, my orthopraxy didn't harmonize with my orthodoxy because I didn't have orthopraxy. I had crooked praxy. I believed all the right things. I believed in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. How many believe that? I believed that the eternal Son of God was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Blessed Virgin. I believed he lived a sinless life. He died on the cross, not for his sin, but for the sin of the world. I believed he was raised from the dead. He ascended into heaven, was coming back to judge the living and the dead. I believed those things. And believing those things, if my heart were to quit beating or Jesus were to come, you know what? I would have landed in the dungeons of the damned to await the great white throne judgment where everyone will be declared guilty and hear the voice, I never knew you, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. So believing the right things, I would have gone to hell. Because there's a second part, and that's experiencing the right things. For example, I can know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no way to the Father but through Jesus. I can know that intellectually, but until I've experienced it and made Jesus Christ Savior and Lord of my life, it has not become orthopraxy. It hasn't become an experience. It's just a belief. And simple beliefs don't get us into heaven. It's believing with the experience. I know you must be born again, but if you're not born again, you know, I believe you must be born again, but I'm not born again. You know, it's orthodoxy plus orthopraxy. Well, something happened June 3rd, 1969 that began to make me think. I was off the coast of Vietnam, Vungan Ray Bay area, mouth of the Mekong. We were on 31 days of operations on the USS Buck, a small destroyer, Sumner-class destroyer. We were relieved we were going to go for some rest and recreation to Taiwan. At 3 o'clock in the morning on June 3rd, 1969, our captain came over the loudspeaker and said, "We have to go back. There's been an accident in the South China Sea. Our sister ship, same class as ours, the USS Frank Evans, was just cut in half by the Australian carrier Melbourne. Accident. They were supposed to go 10 degrees left rudder, and they went 10 degrees right rudder in darkened ship conditions." There's a picture of it after the Melbourne just sliced it right in half in an accident. 74 men went down to their grave that night in the South China Sea. And we were on search and rescue. I had to go on that after part of the ship to try to salvage electrical and electronic and to talk with some of the guys that had been part of that tragedy. It was horrible. One chief said he could hear these young officers, 22 and 23 years old, screaming as their compartment filled with water. And he was trying to get the hatch open to let these young officers out, and he couldn't get it open. The next thing he knew, he was in the water, and all these young officers were down at the bottom of the South China Sea. And I started thinking about that. What would happen if all the lights went out, water started flooding, you don't know up from down? One mother, Mrs. Sage, lost 3 sons in that one accident on the USS Frank Evans. And that's when I started thinking about my soul. I was haunted by that over and over again. And I never really cared for the Christians that I had met up to that point. They were sourpusses. You know, they were telling me I would go to hell, and they seemed happy about it. One day I was on a new construction, I saw these two guys, Howard Malone and Terry Miller, holding up their index finger every time they saw each other. Holding up their index finger. Everybody go like that. You see? Now, that was not the hand gesture I was accustomed to. And so I asked, "Why do you hold up your index finger every time you see each other?" And Howard said, "Well, don't you know that means there's one way to God, and it's Jesus?" And these guys seemed to like me for some reason. I don't know why, but I started sneaking up to the radar room where they worked. I became Nick at night, sneaking up to the radar room like Nicodemus snuck to Jesus at night. So I'd ask him questions about Jesus and about the Bible, and it was very interesting. And one day I got the courage. It was a Sunday night, late Sunday night. I said, "Listen, if you guys ever need a ride to church, let me know. I'll give you a ride to church," because I had a 1963 Ford Futura, canary yellow, hood scoop, fuzzy dice, small steering wheel, and chrome exhaust. Bad shocks, though. And that next day, Monday, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they said, "Hey, we need a ride to church tonight, and you promised us." And I said, "Wait a minute, this is Monday, not Sunday." "Oh, but we have church on Monday. We have a Bible study, and you promised." So now I've got these Christians in my car, because I'm a man of my word. And I said, "How do you get to this church?" And I'm thinking it's just on the north side of San Diego or something. "So just take Highway 5 north and we'll tell you where to turn." And so we're bouncing up and down Highway 5. And it seemed like we were driving a long time. I said, "How far is this place?" "Oh, it's only about 85 miles north of here." So we pulled into Costa Mesa, corner of Sunflower and Fairview. And I saw things I never saw before in my life. I heard things I never heard before in my life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you, brother. Agape, Maranatha. And I thought, what kind of a cult did these guys bring me to? Big tent set up, and it was a Bible study night. And you know what I needed to see? There were 2 little nuns in their habits right in the front row. And there were people with suits and ties. There were people that were barefoot and T-shirts. But they would lift their hands up. I remember one song they'd sing, "Thy Loving Kind," and I saw the two little nuns lifting their hands up, praising God. And I thought about these guys that had lost their lives on that USS Frank Evans. And that night the preacher got up. He talked from Daniel chapter 2 about the image Nebuchadnezzar saw and how a little stone not cut with hands will come down, hit the 10 toes. The governments of the world will just become history. And that little stone will fill the whole earth. And he explained that was Jesus and his kingdom filling the whole earth. And he said, bow your heads, close your eyes. How many of you would like to know Jesus as your Savior? And I raised my hand. And you would have thought I caught a football because they started tackling me. Praise the Lord, brother. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Agape. Maranatha. Let's see. I went up. And that's the greatest thing that ever happened in my life, when orthodoxy became orthopraxy and I was born again. Jesus came into my life. That's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And the reason I tell you that is because I sense there are some here. You believe the right things. You've been religious. But you don't know for sure if your heart were to quit beating or Jesus were to come. You're really ready. One sin's enough to keep us out if we don't have a Savior. And Jesus is the only Savior. There's no plan B that God gave. But that's not what I want to talk to you about today. I want to encourage you and show you a little bit about your future personally and your future corporately as a church. Now, this is about you. It's about your family. It's about your career. It's about your business. It's about your future. So let's stand for just a moment. And I'm going to be brief. I'm not going to keep you a long time. But you're getting ready to go into a renovation over at the chapel, just down here at the chapel, that's going to be totally, a total makeover. You talk about a makeover, it's going to be a makeover. And you're investing in the evangelism. You're investing in a way of reaching kids, children, and it's all going to work. Now, if you have a Bible, hold it up. If you have a digital device, hold it up. If you have neither, hold up the person next to you. And let's make a declaration together. Say this with me. I believe the Bible. It is God's word, inspired by the Holy Spirit. I believe that book. It shows me the way to heaven through faith in Jesus Christ alone. That book is filled with treasures, promises and assets that belong to me by faith. Today, faith will come. My faith will grow, and I will release my faith for miracles in my life. I declare the devil bound, unable to pluck up the seed that's planted in my heart this day. God, open the eyes of my understanding. Give me ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. Give me a heart to obey, and help Pastor Dave preach real simple in the name of Jesus. You may be seated. Thank you very much. I'm just going to quickly be descriptive on what generosity did for our church in Lansing. We started out with 125 members, and the most we had on Sunday morning was 226. And when I became pastor, that dropped down a little farther because there were some that didn't want me. But I found this: salvation is a free gift. In 1971, November, I received the free gift of salvation. Jesus paid for me. But there's another aspect called rewards. That's a reward, is not a gift. We get gifts from God, but we also can have rewards from God. In fact, 29 times in the New Testament, it talks about rewards. Rewards for our prayers, rewards for fasting, rewards for giving, rewards for the way we treat prophets, the rewards for the way we treat our enemies, various rewards that God gives to his people, because Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, God is a rewarder. Everybody say that. God is a rewarder. And he rewards individuals, families and churches, businesses. He rewards for generosity. And in Psalm 1:12, we're told about the rewards for the generous. You see, you have all kinds of opportunities to be generous, and you are the most generous church I know of, one of the most generous churches in the whole United States. You give to missions. You give to various building programs, the new addition you did a couple years ago, and all that. You're very generous people. But I want you to keep your eye open for the rewards that are coming your way as a result of your generosity. We saw four big rewards and benefits to generosity in Lansing. And you'd be surprised how many times generosity and wealth are connected together. Psalm 112 connects it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 will connect it. It says God will give seed to the sower. He will give seed to the person willing to sow it. And then he said, you will be enriched in every way. Why? So that you can again be more generous. God will give harvest after harvest after harvest. Don't let anybody fool you. God is a good God, and he is a rewarder. Now, here's what it says in Psalm 112. It says, praise the Lord, how joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. How many want your kids and grandkids to be successful everywhere? An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. How many want to bless your generation? And it says, they themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. Light shines in darkness for the godly. They're generous. Now it describes the godly. They're generous, compassionate, and righteous. And good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome with evil or by evil. Those righteous will long remember. Those who are righteous will long be remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident, fearless, can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. Now, I had never been a pastor before when I became pastor at Mount Hope Church in Lansing. I didn't know how to be a pastor. All I knew how to do is go to the church at 5:30 in the morning and lay myself on the altar till about 8:30 in the morning and talk to God and ask him what his plan was. We had 125 members, 226 attenders, and we were only giving about $3,500 to missions in a year. And one thing the Lord spoke to me was Acts 13:44. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. And I said, Lord, how can we gather the whole city together? And the Lord began speaking to me about generosity. Make this church the most generous church and the people the most generous people, because you'll find that in every revival and in every church that is just growing like CCC, you find the quality of generosity. And the Lord showed me how generosity and wealth and all this was connected together. Let me tell you what we saw. We saw, first of all, a direct relationship between our generosity and our income, corporate and personally. Our church income began to go up the more we began to give to missions. The more we began to give away from ourselves, the more our income. In fact, it got to the point where people said, you're giving everything away. We're going to be the poor church. And a whole group of people threatened me, said, we're going to withhold our tithes. I said, you can withhold your tithes if you want, because Leviticus says they're the Lord's tithes. And if you withhold the Lord's tithes, then you'll be in trouble. Well, a whole group, 100 people, got upset, and there were other things involved in that too, but mostly they said, I'm going to turn this church into the poor church. We were giving and giving and giving, and 100 people left the church, and the income went up by $10,000 a week. How about that for a miracle? So we started tithing on the tithe. We started sending ahead money for our MAPS trips, and we started believing, give and it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. I quoted this in Springfield at a missions conference, and some guy yelled out in the back, "That sounds like Tulsa theology." I said, "I don't care what it sounds like to you. I call it Luke 6:38-ology. It is the Bible." We were building a youth action center and renovating one area for young people in our church and building a children's center, similar to what we're going to be doing in the chapel here at CCC. Hugh and Pat Betts had planned to take a Hawaii vacation for their anniversary. They'd been saving their money. It was going to be a discount, sort of not a first-class vacation, but they were going to go to Hawaii. They were saving their money, and then I announced the Youth Action Center and the Children's Center and what we were doing to reach young people for Christ. And God spoke to them and said, "Give everything you've saved to go to Hawaii to that Youth Action Center." I didn't know about it at the time. It was a few weeks later. Pat came to me and all smiles, "Pastor Dave, I got to tell you what happened." Said, "Hugh and I, we decided we'd give up our second honeymoon for the sake of the Youth Action Center." Said, "And then last week I found that we had won a sweepstakes for a luxury trip to Hawaii for two, first class air tickets, first class all the way. It was one they never could have paid for themselves." God is a rewarder. He is a rewarder. So we found that not only, and Mary Jo and I have found this, not only did our personal rewards go up, but our corporate blessings went up. Number two, by being generous as a church, we saw a built-in growth guarantee. This Acts 13:44. Now, CCC is a growing church. I guess you know that, don't you? There's still a few pews that people could sit in, but not many, because pretty soon you're going to have to go to three Sunday services and then four Sunday services. Can you see that with your eye of faith right now? You know why? Because your generosity provides a built-in growth guarantee. Stop and think. If you were God, oh, that'd be terrible, wouldn't it? I've often thought I'd hate to be God because there'd be so many dead people. Instead, I just kind of picture them on the golf balls at the driving range, but I'm just messing. Okay. Stop and think. If you were God and you were going to have children born again, you're running this big adoption agency in heaven, and you know who's going to be born again, where would you like them to be born again? At the First Church of the Stingy Saints? Or the church that teaches God's character of extravagant generosity? We found that when we started giving more at Mount Hope Church, more people started coming and meeting Jesus. Our altar calls began to triple. We saw a lady walk up in a leather miniskirt, and she walked up, makeup. I mean, more makeup than you've ever seen on any three human beings. And she came up at the altar call and prayed the prayer of salvation. And here I'm the pastor. And, you know, there's people are giving them Bibles and books and giving them some guidance. But I'm up there thinking, boy, that one sure isn't going to stick. I can tell you right now, you know, there's my faith. And I come down and one of my staff members walked up and said, "Pastor Dave, do you know who that woman was?" I said, "No, that was Lynn, the famous prostitute from Rudder Park." I looked at him, I said, "How do you know who she is?" "I didn't know who she was." Her life turned around. The next week she was BRAC. She brought two of her former customers to Jesus the next week. She became a godly woman, got married, had children. There is a love story. The gift of salvation was for her. The reward was for us. And then Mike, I remember sitting in one of these seats over here at Mount Hope. I'm speaking on the reprobate road, and all of a sudden, this guy manifested. I remember that happened to Jesus in a synagogue one time. And so we had ushers. They knew what to do. They took him out, care people, cast demons out of him. He had been a former pastor. He backslid, and now he was living as a homosexual. And he became demon-possessed. How'd that happen? I don't know. All I know is he got delivered back there. He recommitted his life to Jesus Christ. Then he got filled with the Holy Spirit, which he had never been. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. And in his time at Mount Hope Church, he led over 100 people to Jesus. Our church grew by 100 just by that one deliverance. That was a reward. And I believe that's a reward for generosity. So let's look at number three. Number three reward for generosity. We noticed that our honor and authority was being exalted more in our community. Now, if you're a business person, you want to have honor and authority in your community. In the King James, it says his horn is exalted. That just means your honor and authority. Well, you know, who am I? I'm just a pastor, green bean, don't know much, only been pastoring for 6 years, and the mayor calls me. Now, people had told me there can't be any great work of God in Lansing because it's a political seat of the state and there are too many political demons. I said, well, you go play with political demons. I'm going over here with the Holy Spirit and see what happens, you know. And so the mayor calls me, Pastor Williams, I want somebody that represents God to be the Grand Marshal in the Memorial Day Parade, and I'd like you to be our city speaker at the Memorial Day service. And I said, I have to talk about Jesus, the Son of God. He said, I don't care what you talk about. He said, I need somebody that represents God to lead this thing. So Mary Jo and I, they picked us up in this convertible limousine, and we're sitting on the back, waving to the crowds, Pastor Williams, Grand Marshal, Memorial Day, 1987. I looked behind the car, and here came the senators and the city council members and the Michigan House of Representatives all walking behind my limousine. I thought, so much for political demons. Our honor and authority. Then the next year, the Michigan State Legislature honored me as having the most, they called it, religious influence on the state of Michigan for 1988. And I've got the proclamation. So how can this honor come to me? I totaled in the first service. I went to get my driver's license to the Secretary of State. A little guy with glasses said, you're Reverend Williams, aren't you? And I said, yeah. He took my test and ripped it up without looking at it. And he said, did a guy come to your church with glassy eyes? And he named this guy's name. I said, no. He said, he came in for his license, and I wouldn't give him his license until he comes over and talks to you. I said, if Pastor Williams gives you permission for a driver's license, then I'll give you your driver's license, but I need you to talk to him first. I didn't even know this guy. I said, do you go to our church? No, but I know about you. And I thought, this is great. Now people can't get their driver's licenses without my permission. So you better not be missing church. But we noticed our honor and influence in the community because of our generosity. And you know, it was something. It was just something that God bestowed upon us as a reward. It wasn't we went out and tried to get honor and influence. It just happened. It was like the favor of God on us. That comes to you individually. That comes over your family. That comes over your business, and that comes over your church. And then finally, number four, we noticed more dramatic miracles happening. And it occurred to me in the Great Commission, that's where it's promised that you'll cast out devils, you'll lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. These miracles would happen in conjunction with what we're doing in order to bring people to Jesus. When we're renovating a chapel or putting in a youth action center or a children's center, everything is going to be used to evangelize. Everything is going to be used in connection with the Great Commission. And so we found radical miracles start happening. A man named David Conklin came to us from Grand Rapids. His parents had already bought his funeral suit. He was dying of AIDS. He had sores all over him. He was emaciated. And somehow somebody told him that somebody at Mount Hope will pray for him. They drove him all the way to Lansing. And these prayer partners ministered to him for 3 hours. He passed out and woke up a couple hours later, went home. The next day he called the church and said, "What'd you do to me?" "What do you mean, what'd we do to you?" He said, "I woke up and all the sores were gone." Well, you know, maybe he was going into remission or something. Well, he was going in for spleen. And anyway, he didn't die. Doctors said he only had days to live. He didn't die. Gained all his weight back. And then he went in for spleen surgery. He had to have spleen surgery. And they tested his blood. There was no HIV in him. He got married, had a child, was a part of Mount Hope for a long time. Story after story, and it happens in your family too when you're generous. I just can't tell you. I cannot tell you the miracles we've seen, and the Lord revealed to me it's because of your generosity. It's a reward. See, salvation is your free gift, but we're rewarded for our generosity. And you know, I said, even when you're fasting, you fast on Wednesdays here, keep your eye on the reward, not the suffering of fasting. Because when you keep your eye on the reward for fasting, it's easy to go through, or a lot easier. So isn't that great? Four beautiful benefits and rewards for being generous. Now let's bow our heads and close our eyes, because I know some of you, you're not ready to meet Jesus. Most of you are. But there's some here that God spoke to you when I gave my testimony. You may believe the right things. You may have been baptized. You may have been confirmed. But you're not sure that all is well with your soul. Remember, the wages of sin is death. One sin is enough to send us to the dungeons of the damned to await the great white throne judgment, if that one sin has not been covered by the only Savior God gave us, and that's His Son. He said, "If you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you in heaven." And then when you get there, you'll be able to walk right through. You're here today, and you know beyond any question that if your heart were to quit beating, you're ready to meet Jesus. There's not a sin, nothing between you and God right now. Slip your hand way up. You remember that time in your life when orthodoxy became orthopraxy and you confessed Christ before men. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Now, several people did not raise their hands. I want to tell you something. God is crazy in love with you. And it's no accident that you're here today. Because I know how to pray a miracle prayer with you that'll make sure all your sins are forgiven if you mean it when we pray it. I know how to pray a miracle prayer that'll make everything okay between you and God. I don't care if you're the most religious person in the world. You may believe all the right things, but you don't know for sure if your heart were to quit beating, you're ready to meet God. This is your day. This is your moment. You're here today, and you'd say, "Pastor Dave, would you say that miracle prayer with me? I want to be sure that everything's okay between God and me." At the count of three, slip your hand up. You ready? You say, "Pastor Dave, I want you to pray that miracle prayer with me. I want to be sure that everything's okay between God and me." Are you ready? One, two, three, right now. Lift your hands up back there. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hands are going up all over. Now, everyone with an upraised hand, stand to your feet as fast as you can. Don't let the devil cheat you out of this miracle this morning. Stand to your feet. Now, one more step. Come down here eyeball to eyeball with me. Come on the balcony, we'll wait for you. Come on down. This is an important moment, and it takes courage to do this. Yeah, step out of the way for them. Let them get out. And the angels are rejoicing. We ought to be rejoicing, too. Come on. That's okay. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Bless you. God bless you. I know it takes a lot of courage to get out of your seat and come down in front of a bunch of strange people. I guess we're not really strange. Well, we're peculiar. More are coming. Everybody ask the person on your left and the person on your right, say, do you need to be down there to pray with Pastor Dave? And if they say yes, don't make them come alone. Bring them down. Everybody, go ahead. I don't care if it's your husband. You think he's saved. He's not. I'm just mad. Okay, I'm singing. Hey, I'm really proud of you. I know it took a lot of courage for you to come down. And I promised I'd pray this miracle prayer with you, and I'm going to. You see, we've all sinned, and sin separates us from God. There is no way we can go to heaven when there's one sin in our life, unless we have the one Savior God gave, and that's Jesus. And then all of our sins go back on him 2,000 years ago, and all of his righteousness comes forward on us, and then we're fit for heaven. Now, that's a gift. That is a free gift of God that we receive by faith because he loves us. I don't care how bad you've been hurt. I don't care how twisted things have gotten. Jesus is the great trouble untangler, and he's going to go to work untangling some things beginning now. Now, I said I'd pray that. You don't just mean it from your heart. I'm going to lead you in it, but mean it from your heart, okay? Say this with me. Father in heaven.
Father in heaven.
I believe that Jesus is your son.
I believe that Jesus is your son.
I believe he died for me on the cross.
I believe that he died for me on the cross.
And I believe he was raised from the dead.
And I believe that he was raised from the dead.
Forgive me of all my sins.
Forgive me of all my sins.
Cleanse me of all unrighteousness.
Cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
I trust you, Jesus Christ.
I trust you, Jesus Christ.
As my only hope.
My only hope.
Of ever having a home in heaven.
Having a home in heaven.
I thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord.
I'm saved.
I'm saved.
I'm forgiven.
I'm
going to heaven, and I have a new start in life, beginning now. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. You mean that's it? That's it. How about that? The angels are having that party you're going to talk about right now.
Sure.
And every sin that was on your sin calculator, Jesus just hit the clear button. Big zero there right now. Now come back and help Pastor Joel win some more souls, okay? Everybody go out and get 12 people, bring them back to church next Sunday, okay?
Let's show our appreciation to all of these as they go back to their seats. You can go back. You can go back. Bless you. It is true. It is true. The scripture says that all of heaven rejoices over what just took place here. It's the high point of this service. Make no mistake about it. The high point of this service is when people acknowledge they need a Savior. They come and receive a Savior. A brother here did last Sunday. Someone up in the balcony did last Sunday. And all of heaven rejoices. And here's what I just want to add to that. Give us an opportunity at CCC to disciple you. Now, don't be afraid of that word. It's just to help you along in becoming a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we all need help in being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we would count it an honor and a privilege to be able to take you to the Word and have you grow up in the things of the Lord. And so we just encourage you to plug into the things that are here at the church that will help you grow in your walk with the Lord. I want to say a special thank you to Dave for this message this morning. He came and brought this particular message because I'm sure the Lord wanted him to, but it's because the pastor asked him to, plain and simple. In 3 weeks, we're entering into, actually 2 weeks from today, we're entering into a commitment time for a project that we're doing, renovating the chapel. And when we had this seminar scheduled for this weekend, I thought, if Dave's available and if he'll stay for Sunday, I would want him to fill the pulpit just because I revere and respect his pastoral pulpit ministry. And then I got to be thinking, and I was looking at the schedule and how it all fits together, and I think I told the staff and I think I told the church board that I felt that Pastor Dave's coming was very specifically designed of the Holy Spirit for us because, and I called him up and I said, Dave, all I want you to do on that Sunday is just tell us about Mount Hope's history and how you walk through things just like we're walking through and how The people brought in funds so you could do it debt-free, and that's our desire. And this is a small project in regards to the project that we did 5 years ago when we did the addition, the $2.1 million addition in our church. And it's totally paid for today. But this is something we feel the Lord wants us to do this summer. This is not a secret to anybody. I talked to you about it, State of the Church Sunday, February 8th, and I think one Sunday between now and then. We don't want to hammer on it every Sunday, but now's the time. This week, next week, and the following week for us just to focus in on this project and the part that we'll play. And I'm going to have the ushers come forward, please. And they're going to give you a commitment card. You're not going to turn this in today, okay? I'd just like everybody to take one. At least every couple should have one. And then every individual is not a couple. Just go ahead. Just pass a bunch down each row. Quickly, ushers, serve the people as fast as you can. We'll collect the leftovers. Don't worry about that. And I'm not going to take the time to read it. You can read for yourself. But it is the five-month commitment card for this project. And the only reason I want to put it in your hands right now is so that you will, in the next 2 weeks, pray, first of all. Listen to what the Lord would tell you. And then be obedient 2 weeks from today and do what the Lord tells you to do. We'll just give the ushers a second. Ushers, don't try to count them. Just send them down the row, and we'll pick up the leftovers. I appreciate the ushers and the way they serve us. Thank you so much. Now, I'm not going to get into the details on the project today. That's not important today. The purpose of today is that we begin to streamline our focus on the project. Now, here's what's going to happen 2 weeks from today. At the close of the service, you will have an opportunity to fill this card out, a five-month commitment, how much you could give in 5 months to the project. We'll have you bring it to the altar and lay it on the altar. And then after you've made your commitment, we're going to have a first fruits offering. And that is how much of the five-month commitment could you bring in that offering? And then the rest will continue through the period of 5 months. But how much could you set aside to make happen? Probably next Sunday, I'll share with you what Donna and I are going to give to the project. Now, I think giving should be confidential. There's scriptural support for that, except in certain situations. And this is one of those where it shouldn't be. The Bible's very clear. When they were going to build the temple, David went to the leadership and he said, as the leader, this is what I'm going to give. And he didn't do that all the time, but he did it in that situation. This is what I'm going to give. The leadership looked at what the leader was giving and they said, well, this is what we'll give. And then they went to the people and the people said, well, look what the leader's giving, look what the leadership is giving. And then they added. And we're trying our best to do this in that biblical fashion. So all I'm asking you to do over the next 2 weeks, pray, listen, not so much to my voice, but to the voice of the Holy Spirit, because I know you people know the voice of the Holy Spirit when it comes to giving. And then just be prepared 2 weeks from today to do your part. Next Sunday, the Lord willing, I think I'm going to take us to that account in the scripture where the people were bringing children to Jesus and the disciples were saying, no, keep your kids away from Jesus. And the NIV says Jesus became indignant. I was shocked when I did a little deeper study on that to come to understand Jesus was angry. I mean, he was more angry than I picture that setting, you know, with Jesus sitting and the kids crawling up on his lap and the sky is blue and the grass is green and the butterflies are flitting around or whatever butterflies do. Jesus was hacked off. So much so that the same word is used in his anger there as when he went into the temple a week before he was crucified and cleared out all the money changers. Now, we know he was really angry that day. He was equally angry with anybody who said, hey, keep your kids away from Jesus. He's got more important things than your kids. So next Sunday morning, the Lord willing, I want to give you four views of children. one view that is totally wrong, another view that is, well, it's just okay, and another view that's a little better than just okay, and a fourth view that is 100% biblical and is pleasing to the Lord. And so it'll be a day when we'll think about our kids and we'll think about our families and we'll think about our kids coming to the Lord. And the following week, I'm still working on what the Lord will have for us, but I'm excited about both these Sundays. When I talk to you about your kids, God loves your kids. He loves your kids so much. And I want everyone in this room to know today, God will be faithful with your kids. Oh, maybe sometimes we get a little detour in our family journey. We've had more than one little detour. But I'm telling you, even today, we are seeing the faithfulness of God if we just stay true and stay believing to the Lord. So I'm very, very excited about the next 2-3 weeks here at CCC, and I know that God's got good things in store for us. Today, as you leave, we will receive a Samaritan Fund offering. The ushers will stand at the doors, and it's an offering to help people in our body of believers that come upon hard times. Maybe they've had an accident. Maybe they've had a hospital stay. Maybe they've been laid off from work, whatever the situation is, and they need some help. Literally thousands of dollars every week go out the door to help needy. And this is your opportunity to leave an offering on your way out to the Samaritan Fund. Ushers, don't let anybody out unless they give you $20. No, I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. Would you stand, please? And I don't know about you, but for me, I needed today's message. Beyond the fact that we saw about 15 people get saved this service and a number first service, but I just needed this vision to be cast in front of me. I am so thankful that God has placed in the heart of this people generosity. It is there, and I pray as David prayed in the Old Testament, that it would always, always stay there. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And I pray that indeed God would plant into each of us his heart, a heart of generosity in our going out and our coming in our lying down and our rising up, in our labor and our leisure, in our laughter and in our tears, until we all come to stand before Jesus in a day that I don't think is too far away. Amen. Have a good day. God bless you.